Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today I have got just an assortment of topics going on. We are going to talk antique quilts. We're going to talk a little bit about the Tokyo Quilt Show. We're going to talk about why quilts matter. Then how about something going on with the Modern Quilt Guild out there? They're going to give us an update. Plus, we're going to talk paper piecing. So we just have, you know, all these different great topics. And first, I want to get started with Shelley Ziegert, who is, you know, a quilt person extraordinaire. She's an appraiser, an antique dealer. She has done all kinds of different things within the world of quilting. And as you know, if you've been listening to me any length of time, I just love antique quilts. I love the stories behind them, the images on them. They're one of the reasons I quilt is antique quilts. So Shelley is a renowned collector, and she's going to come on here and she's just going to talk to us about all different types of things within the quilt world. So hi, Shelley. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm fine.
This is going to be so much fun. I'm just really excited to finally talk to you, like almost in person.
I know. We'll have a good time.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, Shelley, about, you know, I read on your website, which is shelleyquilts.com, a little bit about your background, and you put a quilt in your home as decoration many, many years ago. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, it was 1977, and we were building a contemporary house with big high ceilings. Mm-hmm. And I like minimalist contemporary art, and I would bring it home, and my husband, the OBGYN, said, I want art that's going to make me feel comfortable when I come home. And I don't like this edgy art as well. And so I went out on a search, really, to see what kind of great art could be on big walls, and just stumbled into quilts. Though we had lived in eastern Pennsylvania while he was in doing his residency.
So you had seen quilts all your life then?
Yes, but not really. Nobody in my family made them. We didn't really have them. They were just there.
Yeah. Okay. So how did this one quilt that you found so that your husband felt good when he came home, you know, look at it on the wall, how did that turn into collecting for you?
Well, it started slowly. I mean, I looked at this great thing on the wall, and I thought, my goodness, you know, this is great women's art, really. I mean, I didn't, but it was the real key time was in 1979.
Wow.
And at that point, I had a few quilts on the wall, but I really wasn't into it, you know? And then I was invited to somebody's house for tea to meet a young man who bought quilts in Kentucky and sold them in New York.
Okay.
And it was going there that night. He had been written up in People magazine in April of 79, but he kept saying, I can't sell quilts in Kentucky. I have to take them elsewhere. But he started showing us all these quilts. And for me, it was like something just lit my fire.
Wow.
I could not even sleep that night after seeing all that. I wanted everything, and I absolutely, there's a little section in the Why Quilts Matter series and the special features called Dancing Quilts, and that's what it was. There were dancing quilts in my head, and I was hooked from that second forward.
Wow. So you started collecting and then selling, because rather than just keep them all to yourself, right?
Well, not quite. It was a little more complicated than that. I collected because, and my husband put them in his office because it was women's art, right?
Right.
And he didn't have any of that, and he got into it, and the kids got into it. But then I started going to antique shows, and I figured out that all the good stuff the dealers were keeping under the table.
Uh-huh.
It was always for someone else, and I thought, you know, if I start doing a little bit of this, I'll get to some of the good stuff for my collection sooner.
Uh-huh.
So that's really where it started. And then after this young man, Bruce Mann, died in 1980, and we started the Kentucky Quilt Project, I thought, the market is hot. This is a good time to do some buying and selling, and I can use the profits to support my not-for-profit activity.
Wow. And Shelley, have you, had a physical gallery, or do you sell them? How do you go about selling your quilts?
Well, I don't do it anymore. I don't have the business side of it, the buying and selling side of it, as intensely as I did years ago. But when the quilt market was really strong, I started with private sales in people's apartments in New York. And then I went to doing things like the Fall Antique Show for the Museum of American Folk Art and, you know, a couple of shows, but not a lot. It was mostly private sales here in New York and in L.A.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I'm not, I always tell people I have this really tiny budget to buy the quilts, you know, but I like to look at all of them because they're just so amazing. I'm kind of curious. I gave a link on my blog today to one of the quilts on your site called A Tumbling Schoolhouse, which is an antique quilt that's, you know, has all these schoolhouse blocks, and they're just some, they're just sort of all laid out there different than the quilters would do today. What goes through your mind when you found a quilt like that that was done sort of different? What do you think about?
Well, that was really the key to my collecting, which was I would have wanted to meet that maker.
Yeah.
There was something unique about her as a person, or him, if it were him, and that I was just taken by when people do things outside the box.
Yes.
So that would be my draw to that. And then the embroidered Teddy Roosevelt portrait on the quilt, where did that come from? You know?
Right.
I mean, it's just so out of the, you know, out of the blue. So that's why I would have bought that quilt. I wouldn't have really, it wouldn't have mattered to me if someone else really wanted it because I was taken with it.
Right. And there's houses that are chopped off, you know,
right.
The one row, they're not, you know, they're partial houses. It is, I just always think, you know, what were they thinking when they worked on this quilt? Do they do that on purpose? Do you, for some of your antique quilts, so do you have had a chance maybe to learn the history behind them, like from somebody who knew who made it?
Well, of course, and the quilts that I really collected, that we collected personally for our own collection, were tended to be pictorial quilts, and it tended to be quilts where we did have some provenance. Actually, some of them are featured, a few of them are featured in that new book called Quilts in the Attic, where there are stories. So it's a story of it's the story of that woman that really fascinated me more than how wonderful the stitching was. It was the aesthetic, because I came to quilts from contemporary art also. You know, I was always looking more at the aesthetic and, you know, what the story might be more than I was really looking at the number of stitches per inch.
Yeah, that would be me too. Yeah, I would be just like that, Shelley. You know, I'm like, I just want to know what was going on. So you've sort of moved on, and you've done a lot of different things. One of the, let's talk about the Tokyo Quilt Show, because you just went in late January. They held the show. What were you doing at the show this year?
Well, this year I was curating an exhibition of antique hexagon quilts.
Ooh!
This is the fourth time that I've curated an antique a quilt exhibit to be a part of this enormous festival. You know, the Tokyo Greater International Quilt Festival is held at the Tokyo Dome, which is where they play baseball, have rock concerts, have it seats 55,000. So it is really the largest quilt show in the entire world.
That's
because,
what I've heard.
Yeah, it's almost 300,000 people come in 8 days.
Yeah.
And if people go to my the Why Quilts Matter website on our blog, I have a lot of pictures of it. And you might have seen them already, really.
Yeah, yeah, I was looking through them because I just think that show is totally, totally fascinating. What is the personality of that show kind of versus a show here in the U.S., one of our bigger shows like Houston or, you know, one of the California shows?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I would say they have less vendors.
Oh,
that's one thing. So I don't, I mean, that's a small thing, but, you know, they have less vendors. They have more contests and exhibitions. So the mix is just a little different percentage-wise. They recently have learned about doing, you know, having quilt makers make blocks and then putting them together into quilts that people can buy tickets for and then can go to charity. So that's a new thing.
The raffle quilt.
Yeah, the raffle quilts are new maybe about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that you're starting to see, which you didn't before and would be very different from our shows, more quilts with more originality of design. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to see a little breakaway from the more traditional use of the quilt as a medium, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, before you saw a lot more just with Japanese fabrics done in a very controlled manner, very great technique. Mm-hmm. Now you're starting to see some really more abstractive designs.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh, and more creative use of quilts, which you didn't mm-hmm. see before. Also, the another difference is that mm-hmm. In Japan, you know, quilts in a lot of areas are treated like any other Japanese craft. So you've got quilting school.
Right, right.
So with the schools, then you've got the certain people who are the head of the schools and the people who mm-hmm. are the followers and the people who they choose as the stars, et cetera. So it's a little different.
Right,
there's
a different concept.
It's a whole different concept, right.
They train and then they learn to like an apprenticeship almost to then go out and show
for the schools
quilts.
Themselves. Yeah.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, how many days were you in Tokyo? Were you there for the whole show?
We were there for the whole show. Tokyo NHK Japanese Public Television is the main sponsor of the show, along with Yomiuri Shimbun, the major newspaper, and also Japanese Airlines. And, of course, the Tokyo Dome. So they have an art section to NHK. And so that's their, I mean, by art, I mean they're the people who do the actual construction and design of the exhibitions and the hanging of things and the, you know, taking care of it all, et cetera. So they want me there when the boxes that I stand are unpacked and also when they're packed back up again.
That makes sense, yeah, mm-hmm. because you're actually curating and
That's
setting
correct.
Up the exhibit.
And I've gotten the loans, and I've made all the arrangements with the lender. So I'm responsible, really.
Well, Shelley, we're gonna take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your project, Why Quilts Matter. I'm really, really excited about this. The website is whyquiltsmatter.org. So we're going to come back in a few seconds after a break. How is that?
Fine with me. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, so everybody go out there and click on whyquiltsmatter.org, and we'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, hello, Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns, all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking with collector extraordinaire, I guess you could say, an expert on antique quilts and all things quilting, Shelley Ziegert. And she's here. Shelley, we're going to talk about why quilts matter. Tell me how this project got started.
That's a good question. Everybody asked me that question. And there are several things that had me go forward with this project. First of all, my role in the quilt world, I don't make quilts, and I look at why quilts, why this way. I am so impressed with quilt makers and what they do and the messages that they have given through their quilts and the causes that they have supported, et cetera. So everybody's looking at the same thing. People are getting older. What's happening to the new generation? We're trying to get younger people interested. How do you do that? And so that, plus the fact that I had also been a co-founder of the First Quilt Project and a co-founder of the Alliance for American Quilts and, created the sort of quilt index idea, actually, with other people in my kitchen, I thought, what's next? Yeah. How do we get young people and other people to really look at quilts at the center of American culture? How do we get quilt, and of course, it's new media. Documentaries, things that can go into classrooms in an interdisciplinary way. So what I wanted to do was a film that would be the next most important step to put quilts at the center of cultural conversations, whether it's in classrooms, whether it's quilt makers, whether it's the general public, art museums, whatever it might be.
So this has become not only, I have the DVD. Thank you, that you guys sent. And it's also on PBS. And tell me how it's broken out as far as the series.
All right. Well, that was not easy, actually. And a colleague
There's a lot going on here. You have a lot of information to get together.
Several colleagues who are actually in the series had said to me at one point, Shelley, you really touch quilts in more ways than virtually anybody else. As a collector, as a dealer, as your own, getting your own collection into the Art Institute of Chicago, starting organizations, et cetera. You really need to think about something that is our conversations on areas that you have wrestled with over the years. And that's where we started. We started on how does the market, what is Quilts 101? I mean, what is the difference? We started on how quilts bring history alive, but it's not necessarily a flag quilt, but the fabrics and the transportation, everything, the quilt marketplace, what is art? RG's been the most famous quilts in America. How quilts are viewed and collected. What are the issues? What are the good parts? So I looked at it that way, actually, and then we sort of narrowed it down to 9 episodes. I had the most amazing writer, Ann Berman, who was a material culture grad from the University of Pennsylvania and is on the board of the American Art Archives in Washington, and her family are modern or contemporary art collectors, so she came at it from a variety of perspectives as well.
So who are a few of the people? Tell us just a couple, maybe two of the different people that are in some of the segments.
Quilt people would know would be people like Carol Ballard and Hollis Chadlin, and then we have Karen Musgrave, and we have Ricky Timms, and and then I brought in people who I know well, like Marcy Ferris, who's an American Studies professor at UNC, and her husband Bill, who was the head of NAH under Clinton, and they all understand quilt as cultural metaphors. I guess that's getting a little highbrowy. But, the thing that's so cool about it is that I'm really hearing from quilters that it's making them proud. That they always have to defend, not always, but spend a lot of time defending why they're involved in quilting. And with this series, this answers those questions.
Right. It's not just a blanket.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's what a lot of us who make quilts, you know, people who don't make quilts, they often think, oh, it's, you know, you make blankets and, it's a little bit more than that, isn't it?
Just a bit.
Yeah.
And this series certainly proves that.
Yeah, so when people watch it, do they need to watch it in sequence? Is that the best way?
Well, the best part about it is that each of the episodes is a story of its own.
Okay.
And it's together that they become a documentary on the history, mm-hmm. art, and politics of quilts. So what I do is I suggest that people go to the website, go to the homepage, and the homepage is like a guide to the series because there's an intro video, and then there's a clip from every single episode with a description and who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you could pick wherever you want to start. I mean, if you might want to start with Quilts 101 just because. But this is not the kind of a series where you get to the end and Susie got the guy and they ride off into the sunset. If anything, it raises more questions.
Right.
And there's the opportunity there to add episodes if we should choose or anybody should choose to do so in the future.
And this is currently running on PBS in some places?
Yes, it was just really serendipitous. It was not done for PBS. We received no money from KET, our local, Kentucky Educational Television, which is who helped us get it to PBS, through one of their two distributors called NIDA. So that's how it's being distributed, is through NIDA to PBS. But we didn't do it for that reason. It's not a PBS-constructed series, and that's why it's not available like Ken Burns, every Tuesday at 9. So it was, so we received no money for that. It was done under the whole project was done under the not-for-profit Kentucky Quilt Project. And we hope to use profits from sales of DVDs to do additional quilt projects.
Can you tell me a little bit about maybe one of the segments? Do you have one that's particularly, that you particularly like? I know it's like asking about your favorite child or your favorite dog,
It's like asking about your favorite quilt. That's not so easy.
Exactly. Well, then just pick one maybe of the episodes.
Well, I would like to direct your audience to Quilt Nation, 20 million and counting. I mean, it is just so amazing how big this is, how big this world is. And how few people in the general population know that. And so Quilt Nation, 20 million and counting, really also talks about the politics of it. And it talks some about how the quilt world is itself just like another country. You just have to look at it as its own little country with its own lobbies and its own, particular points of view. Hand quilting and machine quilting, and what about long arm quilting, and what about, so we try to address and show some of the politics of something that's so big and that's worth so much money. I mean, think about it. It's about money and power, just like everything else.
Right. Even though it's the hobby for a lot of people, it's
also not a hobby
a lot of
for the
businesses.
Business.
Yeah.
It's far from a hobby for the people who are making their money that way.
Right. Well, a lot of us, this is our job, and, me included and you included, it's at some point and still, that's really, really interesting to get behind it as a business. But quilters, the other episodes are things like I'm just on the website here a second. So you're talking about, what is art? Is that particular segment four talk about how people view quilts as art?
Well, we were looking at quilts as the perfect object to have that discussion about art versus craft, which of course has been done a million times. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the
right.
bottom line is it craft on the bed and art on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what makes the difference? Is it the dealer says it is? That the quilt maker says it's art? Basically a lot of it is self-proclaimed. So we thought, well, we'd just take a look at it from different points of view. And then I like the one especially empowering women one quilt at a time.
Yes.
Because I think they're, that quilts have empowered women in so many ways. And I think this episode really looks at that. And I love the Sun Sets on Sunbonnet Sue story in that one.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun. And the quilt marketplace, I thought I liked a lot because I was able to actually talk to dealers that I have worked with.
Mm-hmm,
and we really were able to talk about a couple of the really early dealers, like Sandra Mitchell, who was just a force to be reckoned with in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to get some of that history down also for all time.
Gosh, you know, this I just love the whole thought behind it, Shelley. I think you guys did an amazing job.
Well, thank you. We're very, very proud of it. And you know, it's always, you always look, it's like your kids, you know, you look and you say, gee, I could have done this a little differently, or what about that, and could we have edited this, and why didn't we do that? But I think we created something that is timeless, that will be used over and over, and that will enrich and inform people for generations to come, I hope. I mean, you know, that is our objective. And our next, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Next up. Of course, because there's always a next up, okay?
Yes, that's what we want to know.
Right out of the box, what we're doing is starting what we're going to call, or we think we're going to call, we're not sure yet, called Continuing the Conversation. We're going to have guides to why quilts matter.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you want to, like a book club.
Okay.
You'll be able to take that episode and you'll have questions, and then you'll have ideas that just sort of are questions that are just sort of making you think about other things having to do with quilts, but we're going to have guides for each of the episodes.
Ooh,
and
I like it.
And for different audiences, and that's what we're working on now. We just are getting started because it's been sort of, all of it's sort of been overwhelming to say the least, but it's so exciting. And we're thrilled with the response we've gotten, you know, and from PBS, we're on over 100 stations now.
That's just really, really wonderful. You know, we don't have much time, but I wanted to say, are you actually at any retail show where people could meet you in the next, during this year?
Well, in the spring, I will be in Paducah. Paducah's an easy drive, and so we'll be doing a screening in Paducah on Friday night at 6, and it will be on, the series will be on the Quilt channel there.
Fabulous.
As well as a couple of airings will be at that Maiden Alley Theater. So we'll be pretty much covering Paducah in the spring. It's such an easy, you know, trip for us.
Well, Shelley, this has been amazing. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
As Shelley Zeger with Why Quilts Matter and a whole lot of other talk, we'll be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Latest quilt project in our show and tell section at allpeoplequilt.com.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Hay Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaHoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I think this is just an amazing, I'm your host, Pat Sloan. This is just an amazing segue going from antiques to modern talk with how people who are quilting now will look back at the quilts from before with Shelley Zegard on to Alicia Hike Carlson, who's going to come in and talk to us about the Modern Quilt Guild. And if you're not familiar with them, we're going to learn a little bit about what they're doing. So hi, Alicia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Pat?
I am just amazing. I heard your name in the little book promo. Did you hear it?
I did. That's a funny coincidence.
I know. I was like, oh, gosh, she's going to be on in about 30 seconds. So I'm so glad you could come on because we haven't had a chat about the Modern Quilt Guild recently, and I just thought it'd be really great to bring everybody up to date. Let me just give your website, themodernquiltguild.com. You're one of the co-founders. What's going on with the guild lately?
Well, a lot's going on. You know, we chatted probably about a year ago last, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think
the guild's just exponential growth. You know, it's mm-hmm. grown in a way we never, ever could have anticipated. We have over 120 guilds all over the world now.
Physical guilds that people can go to in person.
Right. Exactly. Really what it was that the thriving online modern quilting community mm-hmm. really was just looking for a way to meet each other in person. Mm-hmm. At least that was really what I wanted. And so I co-founded the LA branch with Latifa Safir in October of 2009. And we were the first ones just because we wanted to have friends in person to show our quilts to and talk with.
Right.
Cut our husbands some slack and not just ask for their opinions all the time. So we founded the LA branch, and then just through posting online about it, other ones just started popping up all over the place. So we thought, okay, it's time to formalize here and be a real organization. So we started the website. And so that was, you know, less than 3 years ago, and now there's over 120 guilds. One just opened in India. There's one in Ireland. I mean, they're all over now.
Yeah, I just think it is just so cool. We have some in my area. I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, Northern Virginia, and we have one in each area to cover where people live. Now, on your website, you've been running a 100 days feature, which I just love. Tell everybody about this.
Exactly. Yeah, we launched that on January 1st of the year. We thought, you know, it would be a great opportunity to really spend some time delving into the ins and outs of modern quilting and showing enough examples so that anybody could look at the site and really get a good sense of what is modern quilting just mm-hmm. by looking at actual examples of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the weeks broken down, week of inspiration, week of improvisation. Right now it's mm-hmm. week of solids. You know, there's 14 weeks. So we have different features for each week. A different mm-hmm. quilt is featured every day. And then we also do tutorials one a week.
So
it's a great resource.
And I think this is really quite a good thing that you did for the year, because there are people who really don't know what that means, a modern quilt. And of course, the modern quilt does have a lot of variations. You know, I have seen contemporary quilts that are obviously very, very contemporary, and then also something that's a very traditional pattern but still fits under sort of the umbrella of modern to people who like modern quilts. So I think showing all these pictures is really, really helpful for people.
Exactly. It really does. Because modern quilting is a specific aesthetic mm-hmm. that can be defined. And actually on the Modern Quilt Guild website, I think we have a pretty good definition under the About Us link.
Right.
But it also, I mean, it is a specific aesthetic, but also you can't deny that it's the movement that's happened mm-hmm. that also has fueled it. It's really both together.
The internet, the like-minded souls, you know, people who liked a particular style like you and Latifa did, that you just sought out each other on the internet and wanted to talk about things that you liked, just like anybody does.
Exactly. Yeah, the internet is what's really made it all happen so quickly. Just us made it so that we're able to organize in the way that we have. It's an invaluable tool.
You know, you have just today made a big announcement for the Modern Quilt Guild. Would you share with me what's your big new thing is?
Absolutely. We're very, very excited. Just today, we announced QuiltCon, which is the Modern Quilt Guild's inaugural convention and quilt show.
Yay!
So it's going to be a really big event happening February 21st through 24th of 2013. Mm-hmm. So we're announcing it a year in advance, lots of time for people to plan how they're going to get there in Austin, Texas. It's happening in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. So again, we thought nice and central, and also it'll be a touch warmer than, you know, the Midwest, for example, in February. So it'll be, and it's just Austin's such an amazing city. You know, it's somewhere everyone wants to visit. So, more details. Denise Schmidt is our keynote speaker, and she's also teaching workshops. And we're going to have a big quilt show that'll have a couple specialty shows, and one of them is some of her quilts. Denise Schmidt's showing some of her quilts. And, lots of great instructors lined up, lots more to come. So far, we've already announced that Weekstringle and Bill Kerr are teaching, Anna Maria Horner. And these people are both speaking and teaching, so it'll really be an opportunity for people, you know, because I'm sure those workshops will fill up quickly, but with them all speaking as well, everyone will benefit from these people being there.
Right.
Elizabeth Hartman is teaching, Malka Dabrowski. It's going to be a great group.
I've heard Weeks and Bill speak, and they are not to be missed. They are quite an inspirational couple and do some amazing work.
I completely agree. We were lucky enough at the LA Modern Quilt Guild to Skype with them at one of our meetings. So inspiring. So inspiring. And really, really been doing it for so long. Way along with Denise Schmidt, you know, just way ahead of the curve with this whole modern quilting thing. Been at it for years. So, yeah, they're wonderful.
So tell me, this is organized. You have a board, since this is now sort of a big thing, this QuiltCon. So the board is going to plan, besides the classes, you'll have lectures and then several exhibits within the show, so people can come and see examples and can exhibit their quilts?
Exactly. And the show is actually, parts of it are going to be competition. There's going to be cash prizes. It's really going to be on a large scale. So very exciting.
Yeah, so it's like most quilt shows people attend now, but your focus of everything, just like some shows do have a focus, like the Dairy Barn show and some like that, where your focus is just going to be on this modern quilt style.
On modern quilts, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, like there are art quilt shows, only this time it's a modern quilt show.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Cool.
And there'll be a big vendor hall as well that'll specifically appeal to the aesthetics of modern quilters. And so, and you know, and parties, good times. It's going to be really fun.
We have to have parties, of course.
Of course.
I've been with you girls at a party before. You're fun.
We hope so.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about the type of quilters you've encountered that consider themselves modern quilters? Because it's not an age range, which some people sort of thought it was in the beginning.
It absolutely is not an age range. I mean, I think that a lot of younger quilters are attracted to the aesthetic just because it speaks to them personally. But it's not in any way an age thing. It's an aesthetic. It really is. I think, I mean, do you want me to sort of give a rundown of describing the aesthetic? And
yeah, maybe just a real quick one, because we have time.
Sure. I would say modern quilts don't include all of these things, but some for a quilt to be modern, it has to include one or some of these things. So first of all, we pretty much exclusively make functional quilts. Our focus is quilts we use, you know, that our babies lie around on, that, you know, we cuddle under. They're not art quilts to be, for the most part, not
them.
Art quilts. Exactly. And put them in the dryer on hot.
In our
quilt design, we use a lot of asymmetry. We often rely less on the traditional grid layout in terms of block layout. We embrace simplicity and minimalism quite a bit. Sometimes modern quilts just contain a modern reinterpretation of traditional blocks. A lot of use of negative space. A lot of it's inspired by modern art and architecture. A lot of use of improvisational piecing. Lots of bold colors and on-trend color combinations, graphic prints. And we use a lot of gray and white as our neutrals as well, a lot. You'll see that over and over, gray and white. I'm addicted to both of those.
I do think that the quilters who work in this style actually have brought solids back into the focus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just as an example, my book, Modern Minimal, almost exclusively solids in all of the quilts. Lots of use of solids. And then also, not all of us. Some of us use long arms and are growing and learning, but there's also a lot of emphasis on finishing our machines, our quilts ourselves in our home machines. I would say any combination of those things and your potentially looking at a modern quilt.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think it's just fabulous. People should go out to themodernquiltguild.com and see their website. And Elisa, you have a website. You have a blog of your own.
Oh, I do. But also, I do. A Handmade by Elisa is my blog. But I also just wanted to mention quiltcon.com.
Oh, yes.
Is the QuiltCon website that just launched today. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Lots of information and details about the event there.
And people can join you on Facebook and Twitter. There's a lot of chat
all
on Twitter.
Exactly. Twitter's very excited today about QuiltCon, which is awesome to see. Yes.
I know. How many people are you expecting? Do you have any clue?
We're going to structure it so that people can buy passes for the entire event, fly in for the full long weekend, or people can buy day passes. So in terms of the entire event, we're aiming to accommodate 500 in terms of people coming, for the whole thing. But then in terms of day passes, those numbers go way, 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 way up in terms of just visiting the vendor hall and seeing the quilt show. Then we want thousands. Yeah,
cool.
And then we're also going to set it up so that people can sign up for workshops individually as well. So we're really going to have a sort of layered structure that way in terms of people being able to attend.
Well, congratulations. This is to the Modern Quilt Guild and their board. This is just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for people to see everything all in one place. And I thank you for talking about it today, Elisa.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I hope to see you again soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
Okay, take care. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back after the next break.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I'm going to take you in a little different direction. We're going to talk about some paper piecing with Cynthia England, who is an extraordinary quilter. She makes quilts that will just take your breath away. She's been in the 20th Century's Best American Quilts book, or chosen as in that whole series, 100, I think it was 100 quilts. And she's also won Best of Show in the Iqua Show and a couple of times, so you've got to see her quilts, and I know that you will recognize her quilts. So, hi, Cynthia. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Pat. Nice to talk to you today.
Oh, I'm just really excited to have you here. Your work is just, I mean, it is extraordinary. Do you think of it that way?
No. I'm just like a quilter, just like you are, just like everybody.
Well, how did you decide to focus on paper piecing? Because, you know, for me, I like applique, so I like look at your stuff and think, oh, well, I could make trees a totally different way than you make trees.
Well, what I don't actually do straight paper piecing. I use paper, but I don't sew through it, and I'm on the right side. So it's just a little different, and you can cheat a lot. So I can get really realistic images, but I don't have to tear out any paper or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds really cool, you know, but you have like a lot of little pieces in your projects. This is why you win awards, girl.
I like detail. I've always, I like realistic paintings, and in the art world, I'm more drawn to the realistic type art.
Now, your website is englanddesign1word.com, and people can come over here. You have a gallery, and it shows all of your work, plus all of your patterns and stuff. But tell me a little bit about what it's like to buy fabric for paper piecing or just fabrics for your quilts, because I don't think that you and I would buy fabrics the same way.
Ooh, I just buy any kind of fabric. There is no bad fabric. I like to use, I think the more variety that you put in the quilt, the more interesting it is. And I do use plaids, and I use backs of fabrics and large florals. And so I really don't have a certain fabric. I probably use more tone-on-tone fabrics than anything else. But I try to steer away from solids. I look for texture type things.
Do you also work with batiks, because they have, you know, that varying degrees of color in them?
Yes, I love batiks, and seems like the longer I quilt, the more that I am incorporating them in. And it works really good for what I do, because it holds a crease really well. And I sew on a fold. I really don't sew through paper. So fold that the batik makes works really well for what I do.
Now, you have actually a little tutorial and a video on your website, don't you, for explaining how you do this process?
Yes. Because my things look like paper piecing, people think that's what I do. So the tutorials on there show you step by step in progress how something goes together, and you can see what the differences are. And I'm a visual learner, so the more pictures you can show me, the quicker I can catch on. So I figure if I'm like that, then there's other cultures that are the same way.
Interesting, because it does, I mean, I'm, you know, obviously made the assumption too that it was all paper pieced when it's just, you know, they're so crisp, all your lines and your how do you do that? It's how you draw the design.
The sewing, it's not, you sew a seam, and if you don't sew perfect, you peel the freezer paper off and you move it over and you re-iron it. So you can cheat a lot. It's not as picky as you think. So if you have a little bitty piece, you can sew a big scrap on and then iron the piece on and then cut around it. So it's just a little different than traditional foundation.
Well, let's take a look at sort of the big picture of your work. You've done some, you know, your mega pieces that you've put into competition and you've won awards and been, you know, selected for the top, you know, quilt of the century. How do you go about designing a piece that extraordinary, that in, and I assume they're a little bit larger pieces that you do competition?
No, actually, they're probably smaller.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've tried to put more detail in it.
Oh, okay.
When you do something that's a really huge project, what I do is kind of break it down into little doable parts. Just like when you do a traditional quilt, you don't think about all the time you're going to spend on this whole big quilt. You just think about, I'm going to do that one block, and then I'm going to do the rows. Well, the same thing here is what you do is you have to have a line drawing full size, but I don't draw out every little thing at once. What I do is break a chunk of it off, sew that up, and then break another piece off. So I kind of take little parts of it. So I don't think about the whole thing, because if you did that, it would be too overwhelming.
Yeah, I saw your quilt, Peace and Quiet, which is the one that was the 20th Century's Best American Quilts. It's just, it looks like a photo. It's amazing.
Thank you. That's my goal. I take photographs, and I'm just trying to think of myself as a camera. And I do mix photographs. Like if I find a photograph, and I'll find another photograph that I like something out of it, and kind of, you know, mix them together and get a new drawing and a new design that way. But I pretty much work from pictures.
Okay. Now, when you're working from pictures and, you know, there's all the different colors that are going on. You said when you work in a small segment, so do you go back and forth with the photo, or at some point are you just using the fabric and the quilt?
No, there's no guessing when you do the colors. What you do at the very beginning is you
this
make
is
a color chart.
This is why you're good, Cynthia. I would be guessing.
No, you wouldn't. That's not how this works. What you do is you cut swatches of all your fabrics and you lay them out light to dark and you label them.
Wow.
So it's like a painter's palette. That's what you get to pick from. And when you design it, you mark all the colors. So when you're sewing, you're just sewing. You're not wondering which fabric goes where. Those decisions have already been made when you get to the sewing part.
Ah, okay. So some of the projects have a lot, let's say, like the Peace and Quiet has a lot of gray. How many fabrics would you have to audition from?
Well, I might, on my really big pieces, I might have 250 fabrics. But that's not what I use. That is my palette.
That's the word to pick from.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. Cool. Now, you and I are going to be going to South Africa to teach in July.
Yes. I'm so excited.
I know.
I can't believe quilting is taking me to South Africa.
I know. We are going to have so much fun. And unfortunately, I can't come and take your class because I'm also teaching. But I just think it's going to be really exciting to see your work again up close like that. And everybody else in Africa is going to be there to see it. What are you going to be teaching there?
I teach a lot of, I'm doing a landscape class where you start out and you work on one of my patterns, and then half of the class, you're learning the technique, how the sewing works, and then the next part of the class, I'm taking them through a design packet where I show them how to break up their own design. Mm-hmm. And the design process isn't as hard as you might think. You don't have to know how to draw at all. What you do is you take a photograph and like drop it in a sheet protector, and you outline all those things, the main things, and then you enlarge that full size, and then you put freezer paper over it and start breaking it down. So it's not like you have to come up with something out of the air. You actually are looking through something.
Oh, you make it sound so easy.
It is easy. You sew a straight line. If you don't sew it well, you peel it off and you move it over and you fix it. It's constantly fixing it. And that's why I have those demos on there so you can see.
Now, if someone were to not be able to take a workshop with you, but really wanted to try this, they go out and see your website, englanddesign.com, and they're like, oh, yes, I want to try one of these. What would you suggest they start with if this is totally new to them?
Well, I have two free patterns on there, and so it wouldn't cost them a dime. They could see if they liked it. It has the videos, so they can try it and see, you know, understand how it all goes together. If they want to design their own, from a photograph, I have a book that explains the process of taking the picture and breaking it down and doing your own design. But the technique part, I have over 50 patterns that you can, work on. But the free patterns are great to start with. And there is a small pattern in the book to teach you also how it goes together.
Oh, well, that's perfect. That's perfect. And you have a ice cream cone and a choo-choo train. So, and they're totally different sort of shapes and stuff. So that's a...
Yeah, they look really paper pieced. If you just look at my work, you would think, oh, that's paper piecing, but I'm not doing paper piecing at all.
I know. I just want to, you know, stare at your quilts for a really long time whenever I see one in person. It's like,
thank you.
Well, so do you do any other style of quilting besides this?
Yeah, I'm a traditional quilt maker too. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a block exchange right now with some three-inch nine patches, and I do as many traditional quilts as the artsy quilts. It's just I kind of bounce back and forth because I like to do something real intricate, and then I do something more like, it's like doing a puzzle. And then I come back to something hard. So I'm constantly, as a matter of fact, I'm working on a new book that I'm mixing the two together. I'm doing traditional quilts, but I'm mixing some of this picture piecing in with it. So that's what I'm working on now.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Do you have a schedule on your site of where you are so people can look for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I do quilt shows also where I demo. Besides teaching, a lot of times we bend. And I'm in the booth and I'm demoing. So I will be happy to show anybody that wants to see how to do this.
Yeah, and Cynthia is really, really nice because I've met you.
Well, you are too.
Yeah.
Quilters are.
The quilters are. I mean, it's amazing. So if you go to our site, englanddesign.com, Cynthia has a tab for teaching schedule and for her lectures. Are you going to be in Paducah?
I will. I'm bending in Paducah. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching.
You're bending in Paducah. Okay.
Later.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm teaching there, so I will come and see you.
All right. Great.
Yeah, because I suppose we have some time when I can see the vendors, so I hope.
Well, it's got to be better than last year with the flood.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure it will not ever happen like that again. It's going to be amazing. Thank you, Cynthia, for coming on and telling us all about your work. And I hope we have some new fans for you.
Oh, well, good. Well, I hope I see some of you guys at the quilt show or in South Africa. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Cynthia. This has been American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Check out our website, allpeoplequilt.com, where we have videos and free patterns and tips and tricks and lots. Anything you want to know, you just put it in the search box. Come back next week for a brand new show. Once again, I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.